Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Okay, once again, we're going to come back after a coffee break. And for those of you out in television, if you're ever coming through Tulsa on a Wednesday afternoon, the first week of the month, stop in and spend the afternoon with us. And evidently, it's not too bad, huh, Shirley? You keep coming back. Every time they head for Florida, they stop by. And when they come home from Florida, they stop by. So it's kind of a nice afternoon. It really is. And again, we want to thank all of you out in television for all of your prayer support, your financial, and most of all, your encouraging letters. I appreciate the fact that most of you know I like to have you keep them short, but you don't have to overdo it, but try to refrain from 2-, 3-, 4-page letters, because that crimps our time, because we try to be honest with you. In fact, we had guests in our home last week from Chicago, and they were helping us open the mail, and they said, "Well, do you read every letter?" And I said, "Isn't that what I tell people on television?" And I said, "I can't lie to them, so yes, I'll keep reading every letter." And it helps if you keep them short. But how we love them, how we love your mail. Okay, we're going to be still working in book number 63. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Book 63, and we're in the first four programs, and we are in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Did I get it right? Is that what the board says? Okay. Isaiah 64, verse 1. And now remember, as we've been the last 2.5 hours, it's the remnant of Israel shortly before the second coming that are in view of the eyes of the prophet. And remember, the prophets can do that. They can leap the centuries and speak as if it's today or tomorrow or whatever. And so this is the voice of the remnant just before Christ will return. And this continues now in chapter 44. And then we get into chapter 65. We're going to see Jehovah, or the Lord, respond to the prayer of the remnant. And then we go on into chapter 66, hopefully the next half hour, and wind up the book of Isaiah with all the blessings that are waiting Israel when they have the king and the kingdom. All right, but Isaiah 64, verse 1, we're still in the words of the remnant. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that is his second coming as we look at it, and that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy, what? Adversaries. Now, I don't like to run a good thing into the ground, but you see in our last taping, on those first three programs, we covered some of the horrors of those final 7 years. And it is beyond human description. But it's coming. God will have to, if he's the righteous God that he claims to be, he has to deal in wrath and judgment before he can open up the doors of the kingdom. And so it will be. It will be beyond human description, the horrors. In fact, I don't think I did it last taping. I intended to, because it was at a point just shortly after the tsunami horrors of Asia. But as people began to call, I referred them one after the other. And now you can turn with me a minute to Jeremiah 25. Because since this is all fresh on our memory, and seeing the horrors of the destruction, but that was all just along the coastlines. It hardly affected inland. And if any of you happen to see the video, it was not too long ago, but it was long after the original, and ours and I just happened to catch it. And here was all the water rushing back out to sea. And that's what I've been waiting to see, because I knew that all that wave that went over had to go back out. Well, this video happened to show it, and it was beyond description. You can't imagine, if you didn't see it, the death and destruction as that river of water was going back out to sea. Trucks and cars and trees and buildings. And unbelievable. But here is the graphic description from Scripture of how it will not just be on a few miles of shoreline in Asia, but this is going to be around the planet. Nothing is going to escape God's wrath. Now, I don't do this to be facetious or to be sensational, but it does bear being reminded of the wrath of God that's coming on the unbelieving world, even as Israel knew was going to come on all except the remnant. All right, you got Jeremiah 25, and I've just been telling my callers to start with verse 30, so we might as well do it here. Now, if these tapes are still being shown several years from now, it'll probably seem a little out of place, but whatever. In view of where we are today, just stop and analyze this and ask yourself, how much of this did we see in those miles of coastline in Asia? Now remember, that didn't go in very far inland. All the damage and havoc was just along the coastlines. But this isn't going to be limited to coastlines. This isn't going to be limited to Asia. This is going to be striking every nation on the planet. Verse 30, therefore, prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high. Now, this is almost the same language that we saw a couple programs back in Isaiah 63. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against, now watch the language, all the inhabitants of the earth, not just a few hundred thousand Asians. This will strike everybody around the planet. Verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their rejection of all of his love and grace. And he will plead with all flesh, not just Asia, not Israel, not just Europe, not just America. It's going to be the whole planet. And he will give them that are wicked. See, the believer is not going to be in this scenario at all. This is for the majority who have chosen to reject him. And he will give them that are wicked to the sword. Now, the sword only speaks of one thing, and what is it? Death. All right, verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. Now, I think this is going to include nuclear. It's going to include natural events, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, tsunamis, you name it. It's going to be a conflagration of every description. And it'll go from nation to nation. A great whirlwind shall be raised up from the borders of the earth. Now, verse 33. And as you look at this verse, just stop and think of what you saw in Asia the last few weeks. This is exactly what we saw. But that was just one little isolated area. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth to the other. And they shall not be lamented. What happened over there? They couldn't find most of the corpses to even have a funeral. Many of them were never found. We know that. Washed out to sea. We happened to catch a little clip where they had a great big firewood pier and they were just simply throwing the corpses just to get rid of them, to stop the disease. They didn't have time to embalm and have funerals and bury. Well, isn't it exactly what it says here? They will not be lamented. There'll be no funerals. They'll not be gathered. There'll be no taking them into a mortuary. They will not be buried. There won't be any reason or opportunity to. Why? Because those dead bodies will be as dung or refuse or trash upon the ground. That's what the world is facing. And they can scorn us all they want. And when I read these articles of scorn, I just have to have two reactions. On the first hand, I feel sorry for them. And on the other hand, I think you're going to deserve it. Because you don't have to be that blind. The scripture is so plain. But anyway, this is just a little itsy-bitsy tip of the iceberg of what the world is facing. All right, back to Isaiah 64. And so the remnant is still pleading then that God when he comes and raises his wrath and vexation against the unbelieving world. All right, verse 3. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now we're going to jump up to the New Testament a minute, if I may, and let's flip all the way up to, I think it's 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Is that it? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Some of you are way ahead of me, aren't you? And that's great. That shows that you're getting aware of the Scriptures. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to you and I as Gentiles. I almost have to go back to verse 6. We're not going to rush. If I don't finish Isaiah today, why, we'll do it again later. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. For the apostle writes, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or spiritual mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery or a revelation of secrets, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our, or I think the apostle could have written, my glory, because he's the one that reveals all this. And all of this was such that none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, now the princes of the world means the rulers and those with authority, Israel as well as Gentile, but which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, what's he referring to? Had the authorities of Israel and had even the authorities of Rome known that this Jesus of Nazareth was the creator of the universe, would they have nailed him to that cross? No way. They wouldn't have been that stupid. But why did they? They didn't know. They were blind in their unbelief. And like Isaiah said, it's always been that way. They cannot comprehend. But read on. But, as it is written, and now this is where Paul is quoting from Isaiah 64. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that, what? Love him. Not the wrath and vexation that's coming on the unbeliever, but the things that are prepared for the believer. It's beyond comprehension. Now, you know, I'm always the first to admit, the Scripture, as I see it, does not really tell us that much about our eternal state. It doesn't tell us what we're going to be doing. It doesn't tell us how we're going to be operating. A lot of things, in fact, it almost tells us nothing except one thing. It's going to be what? Glorious. It's going to be glorious. And we cannot begin to comprehend the glory that is awaiting the true child of God. All right? For he says in the next verse then, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given. But even that is limited to the Scripture. And the Scripture limits us to the eternal state is glorious. And that's as far as we can go. You know, my daughter loves horses. Did, and that's why, of course, she experienced her horrible accident. She's always been a horse nut. And I remember a couple of years ago, she said, Daddy, do you suppose it's possible the Lord will give me a horse barn a half a mile long? and I can clean stalls every day because, you know, it's funny with these gals that love horses. That's their favorite pastime, is cleaning the stalls and putting in fresh bedding and all that. Well, I said, honey, we don't know. We have no idea of what we're going to be doing or how when we get into the eternal state. Now, I'm on the same impression. I hope that there will be animals in glory because I love animals. But I don't know. I'm not going to tell people, well, we're going to have pets, we're going to have animals. But I know one thing. It's going to be glorious. Beyond human comprehension, see? Okay, now I could probably use a few other verses, but I think we better go back to Isaiah 64. Or I won't even get close to finishing the book today. But anyway, now the believers are crying out that have an inkling of what God has prepared for those that wait for Him. That's the next one I wanted to use. Wait for Him. Turn back again the New Testament, all of you. Honey, 1 Thessalonians. I should have thought of it while I was in 1 Corinthians, but I didn't. That was the next key word, to wait, to wait. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, you know, the first time I caught that verse years ago, I thought, well, now, what in the world? Why did the apostle write that these Thessalonians were being commended, not condemned, or being commended for their attitude of waiting? Now, all we ever hear is, get to work, do this, do this, do this. Because after all, if you're a believer, God's got things for you to do. But now we're going to temper that a little bit. Don't get so busy doing the Lord's work that you haven't got time to contemplate what's the next big event on God's calendar? The return of Christ. First to take us up, and then to return to the nation of Israel. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 8 in this series, because Paul is commending these Thessalonian believers, fresh out of paganism, remember. They've been idol worshippers, they've been moon god worshippers, they've been the mythological gods and goddesses worshippers, and here they are, trophies of God's grace. Verse 8, for from you, the Thessalonian believers, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in northern Greece, Macedonia, or Achaia, which was southern Greece, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak in. In other words, Paul didn't have to tell people about these Thessalonian believers. Their fame went all across the land of Greece. All right, now verse 9. For they themselves, that is, the rest of the population of Greece, when they'd talk about these Thessalonian believers, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, that is, as Paul brought the gospel to these pagans, what manner of entering in we had unto you, now watch it, and how you turned to God from what? Idols. See, they were idolaters. And you served the living and true God. And now here's the verse. Along with their salvation, along with their serving, telling others of this glorious gospel and this newfound life apart from paganism, they what? Waited for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the what? The wrath to come. That's why I know we're not going into the tribulation. We've been spared that. But what were the early believers doing? Waiting for this great event. What was the remnant of Israel doing? Waiting for that great event. Oh, they didn't live to see it. But that doesn't take away from the fact, and I think that's where we should be today. My, in spite of all of our activity, in spite of all our busyness, we should be able to just relax at times and say, Lord, how long? How long? Until we hear, as the songwriter put it, until we hear that great song, and Christ returneth. Okay, back to Isaiah 64. So don't get so busy that you haven't got time to wait for this trumpet sound that we are confident is coming. All right, back to Isaiah 64. Verse 5. Now, this is a verse we took off in one of our last programs, in our last taping, and I jumped up to the New Testament because of all the language here that prepared this remnant for their salvation. Now, of course, Old Testament salvation was different than ours under grace. I can't explain it. I've never found anybody that really could. It's kind of an enigma. And what kind of a salvation did they have? I know it was by faith, but on the other hand, there are a lot of questions as to how much security they had and so forth. But remember now, these are the remnant at the end of the tribulation that we saw Jesus refer to in Matthew 24. They're going to be escaping out into the wilderness, whereas the rest of the nation is going to suffer their death along with the rest of the world. All right, so verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art angry. Now remember, the tribulation is raging all around them. God is supernaturally protecting them out in that wilderness. All right, remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art angry, for we have sinned. See, now that's the first step, as we saw a couple programs back. That's the first step in salvation, is to recognize our lostness, or that we're sinners. And those is continuance, and we, because of recognizing their need, shall be what? Saved. And this remnant was. They were saved Jews within the nation of Israel, and I'm sure they were a sprinkling of all the tribes, because they're all going to be represented. And in fact, that's the way Paul puts it. And let's go back and look at it a minute again, honey. Romans chapter 11. I've got to make the point, because this also precipitates a lot of questions. Hope I can find it. Got to be in chapter 11. Oh, some of you guys are going to have to help me find it. I'm not seeing the verse I want. Anyway, where it says that all Israel shall be saved. Am I looking at it? Not seeing it? Which chapter? 11? Yeah, I just didn't turn the page. Okay, thank you. Romans 11:26. This has to be answered. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But all right, we can't let one scripture override another. Now come back with me with that which we looked at in Zechariah, a program or two back. And our listening audience promises us that they watch every day, so they'll remember this. Zechariah chapter 13, was it? Yep. Zechariah 13. And now this is going to answer the questions. Zechariah 13. Verse 8 and 9 again. Now I know this is repetition, but hopefully it'll make a point. It shall come to pass, verse 8, that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third, that is the third part, shall be left therein. That's the remnant, one third. I'll bring the third part through the fire, that is through the tribulation, and I will refine them as silver refined, and I will test them as gold is tested. They shall call on my name, and I'll hear them, and I'll say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. All right. So this is the conclusion you have to come to. When Paul says, yet all Israel shall be saved, and the Old Testament says it will only be a remnant, what does it mean? Only the remnant is the all Israel of Romans, simply to indicate that in that remnant there are members of every tribe. No tribe will be left out in that remnant. And so it will, for that sake of time, be the all Israel. Now, I hope that settles it even for my TV audience. When it says all Israel shall be saved, it doesn't mean the 15 million Jews on the planet today. It means more like 5 million, And in that 5 million are representatives of all the tribes of ancient Israel. Goodness sakes, is that clock right? Back to Isaiah 64. That shows 3 minutes left. Okay. Isaiah 64. Now verse 6. This is why we know this is the believing remnant, because they recognize their need. What about the rest of Israel? No, they were all right. In spite of all their immorality, in spite of their idolatry, what did they do every so often down in Jerusalem? Went to the temple. And that was supposed to make everything right. But the rest of the time, they were horrific in their behavior. But you see, the believing remnant recognized their need and what they were and why God could save them. Verse 6. We are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now let me stop and ask you, those of you who know Christ's earthly ministry, you know the gospel accounts probably better than I do. Did the Pharisees think of themselves as filthy rags? Why, heavens no! They were self-righteous. They could do no wrong. And even Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. What was he? Religious to the hilt. He couldn't find any fault in his lifestyle. He was religious, see? But the believing element, they could recognize what they were in God's sight, and that's why God could save them. Well, it's no different today. No different. All right, reading on. We're as unclean thing, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. We have nothing going for us. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Verse 7, there is none that calleth on thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But that was the very attitude that caused this little remnant of Israel to become believers. And see, it's no different today. The pomp and the circumstance of most of Christianity today never brings a person to recognize their need. They're okay. They're going to make it, and they've got all their reasons. But you see, the first step for salvation is to recognize our lostness, as we pointed out a couple programs ago. And so I ever remember that this is the first step in God's saving grace, is for mortal man, whether it was Israel antiquity or for us today in 2005, the first step for salvation is to recognize that we are nothing in God's sight. Our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.